Sea Anemone by Jade Starmore. Far out to the north and west lay the Long Island, a place either scoured by storms or blessed with a beautiful crystal light that illuminated more colours than existed anywhere else upon the earth. Of the children of men who made their home there, some saw the beauty, while others saw only the hard and jagged rocks, and their characters developed accordingly. On this island, near the base of a high-rising cliff, lived three sisters, full of youth and vigour, and each possessing her own particular mark of beauty. The first sister had eyes as green as the bog bean that grew within the treacherous places of the moorland. The second had long-fingered hands that were full of grace, and the third had thick, lustrous hair that shone and glimmered with all the colours of the moorland in the heart of autumn. They also possessed the knowledge and ways of herbs and incantations, and were frequently sought out to help or hinder, depending on the nature of the request. One day the third sister was sitting on a stone, brushing out her hair 9 times 9, when a young man came by with a request for a favourable wind to take to sea with him. The third sister smiled at him, for he was comely in all respects, and with the last stroke of her hairbrush, she caught a happy and swift westerly breeze and passed it to her sister, who wrapped it in an intricate knot of yarn and sent him on his way. However, the young man was so captivated by the sight of the third sister that he came back day after day, and as she smiled at him day after day, it was not long before they were married. They settled in a blockhouse at the top of the rising cliff where the breeze was strong, for she liked to tame the wind with her brush and make it do her bidding. At first, when the marriage was young, all was well. But as time went on, the sister found less and less peace. She was used to being always in the company of her sisters, and as her husband was often at sea, she felt the lack of company, and the chores of the house and land multiplied around her as the seasons turned. It befell that the only pleasure she had in her lonely day was when she sat near the door of the house and brushed out her hair and chased the north wind. On one particular morning, as she sat and brushed her hair 9 times 9, her counting was interrupted by the stew pot boiling over. No sooner had she seen to that and settled back again to her counting when the cow lowed for milking. Once that was seen to and she was settled again, her ducks charged at the front door and created a cacophony within the little stone house. Once she had restored order with a hard broom, she was quite overwrought, and when she returned to her counting, she made a terrible mistake. She brushed her hair 9 times 10, summoning the sharp and bitter east wind. Different from the west, north and south, the east wind had rules all of its own, and no witch could tame it. The east wind, full of fury at being called from its favourite pursuit of jabbing sharp, cold knives into the hearts of ill-clad travellers, whipped at the sea until the waves towered and the swell heaved, and the third sister could only watch as her husband's fishing boat was shattered against the rocks at the foot of the cliff. Satisfied, the east wind veered away to the horizon, leaving the third sister to climb down and pull the body of her husband from the waves and bury him beneath the beautiful but treacherous shingle. The third sister climbed down to the shingle day after day and shed many tears over the grave of her husband. At first, these were tears of guilt and sorrow, and her hair became dull and straggled. Then, as time passed, she shed tears of loss and pain, and her body became thin and bony. Then she began to begrudge the happiness of others when she had no comfort of her own, and she shed tears of malice and rage. These fell from her eyes as blood and rained down upon the shingle until there was nothing left of her body but her red tears. The sea washed them back and forth until they coalesced into a single smooth red pebble. And as night fell, the half-waxed moonlight danced upon it, and the sea anemone was born. For a time she dwelt half-formed in a cave, looking out upon the colourful pebbles and the world beyond, her smooth stone heart brim full with the malice of the third sister's tears. Slowly she began to explore the sea and shoreline beyond the cave. She observed the fragility of all warm-blooded beings and learned the value of beauty and of salt. She then took her shape and walked out among the shingle. Her skin was as pale as sea foam and her eyes as blue as the sea itself. Her hair she coloured from a memory of the third sister, and her face and form were as smooth and perfectly curved as the many-hued pebbles that lay upon the shore. She fashioned garments from the seaweeds upon the beach and climbed the cliff in search of young and tender flesh. For a time she seduced and feasted on the unwary, until the shoreline villages were depleted and the long island was ruled by loss and fear. The villagers tried to fight her, but her stone-hard flesh repelled all weapons, and still her beauty ensnared those she encountered in solitude. In desperation, the villagers turned to the first and second sisters, who had just returned to their black house at the foot of the rising cliff, after a 12-month spent deep in the moorland, colouring cloth with rare plants. They were distressed to hear the plight of the villagers, and they grieved beyond measure for the life of their sister. But they recognised the warped and twisted form of her magic within the sea anemone, and they stopped their own tears lest they call into being yet more malign forces. They asked the villagers to bring them the very finest fleece from the very purest sheep. The first sister, whose green eyes could determine the nature of plants, dyed the fleece into the warm and rich colours of the moorland. Into her dye pot she also mixed love and the strength of her ancestors. The second sister used her elegant hands to spin yards and yards of a soft, strong yarn, full of her most cherished memories. Thus armed, they went forth to the shoreline under a waning moon and spun and wove until they had created a net so fine that it was invisible in the darkness. The sea anemone, complacent and sated, walked unsuspecting into a net so strong that she could not break a single strand. As her skin was hard as stone, the sisters could not harm her, but as the night passed, they sang and danced spells and incantations which bound the sea anemone to the very rock. Though they could not destroy her, they called out to their sister's blood. They entreated until her clothing changed colour to a rich red that would warn the unsuspecting of her deadly nature. Though the sisters have passed long out of time and memory, the sea anemone still lives on. Anchored to the rocks, she cannot pass on to the land, but she waits by the shore, in lonely places, ever vigilant for the tender and the unwary, the careless and the easily seduced.